I want to say something, and I want you to think about the reaction that you have immediately that you hear this phrase. Jesus is Lord. Now, on the surface, we know that. But I think we can all be guilty of times, at times of using the term Lord and not really giving it much thought. It just becomes a phrase that we use and we don't really understand what it means. I remember when we were in Bible college and we had to do something a couple of times every week. And it was called Sermon Workshop. And so we prayed publicly in front of all of our college classmates. We preached a sermon. We did a couple of songs, led worship, whatever we needed to do. And we were always critiqued by our tutors and by other students. And so one thing that the teachers used to really give off about, the lecturers and the tutors, was just using Lord all the time in our prayers. And so we would pray very often, so many of us, we would pray and we would say, yes, Lord, thank you, Lord, and Lord, this is happening, and Lord, that's happening, and Lord, bless that person, and Lord, Lord, Lord. And we just used the term all the time. It rolled off our tongue without any real thought of the depth and the enormity of what that term actually means. It was just used as a gap filler, really, for many of us. And if that's how you pray, that's okay. You know, it was just something we were working through at the time. The reality is, we sort of understand that Jesus is Lord, but very often it doesn't impact us enough to change how we see him or interact with him. And really, we need to have a revelation of his lordship so that we interact with him in the way that we should, and so we honor him and worship him in the way that he deserves. But when you really, really grasp this issue of the lordship, this reality of the lordship of Jesus, it'll dramatically impact your life, it'll dramatically impact your level of breakthrough, and it'll definitely impact your understanding of the mission that we all have been given. And so let's cover for a couple of minutes what this really means. It might seem quite basic, but the lordship of Christ is at the very heart of the gospel. This lordship of Christ is at the very heart of the message of the kingdom, because he is the king, he's the Lord. And so it's great to anchor this in everything that we do. It's so important. And so bear with me, we're going to be really simple, but this is profound stuff, and it's the foundation that we need to build everything on. Jesus was and is the eternal Word of God who became flesh and blood and dwelt amongst us. The message says that he moved into our neighborhood. And so he came to this world and he lived a perfect, sinless life. Now, he overcame sin in life and on the cross, but he overcame sin in life. All of the temptations and trials, he overcame sin in life. So he overcame life, really. And then he became this. Because of the way that he was able to overcome life in sinless perfection, he was able to become this spotless, perfect, sinless sacrifice for our sin. And so he overcame our sin as well because of being able to offer himself as a substitute who would take our place and take the punishment we deserve. So he overcame life and he overcame sin. Not that he ever had any, but he overcame sin in the fact that he was tempted and remained sinless. And he overcame our sin as becoming the perfect sacrifice to take our punishment. So he went to the cross and he died in our place as our substitute. And then he rose again on the third day and he overcame death. So he overcame life, he overcame sin, and he overcame death. And after he was risen from the dead, he showed himself to his disciples many, many times and then ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he now reigns as Lord over all the universe. Now, the Bible has this radical, earth-shattering message about Jesus Christ. He wasn't just a man, he wasn't just a philosopher, he wasn't just a religious teacher. He was and is and always will be the eternal Lord of the universe. Now, you've got to get this. He's the eternal Lord of all the universe. Colossians 1:17 says this in the Amplified Version. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist, cohere and are held together in him. And so we begin to get a glimpse of who Christ really is. We begin to see the real Jesus and the positional authority he has in eternity over all the universe. And so the big picture is, no matter what's going on in the world, Jesus is Lord. No matter what's going on in our nation, Jesus is Lord. No matter what's going on with our politics, we really need to know that Jesus is Lord. No matter what's going on in these days with all of the things that we're experiencing in the world at the minute, with the wars and the rumors of wars and the pandemics and all of the stuff that's going on around our stepping into this new normal, Jesus is Lord over it all. Our identity is in Him. Our hope is in Him. Our faith is in Him. Everything we need for life and godliness comes through the knowledge of Him. Our purpose is found in Him, and all our provision comes from Him. Jesus is Lord. And so we need to fully grasp this. But if we don't fully get it, then we won't really understand why we should obey Him. One of the things that we're told to do in the Great Commission is to teach these new believers to obey all the things that Jesus taught. And so we'll never really grasp the potential of the possibilities of what can happen as we surrender our lives to Jesus. If we don't understand the Lordship of Jesus, we'll never really understand why we should surrender our lives to His purposes. And really, it's because He is Lord. But if we don't get this, we'll never really understand why our mission is not just possible, but is absolutely certain to exceed. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. And so as He gave us the Great Commission, He did that from His unique position as Lord. And so we know that we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all the nations. But it's what He says leading into that that actually makes it a reality in our lives and a necessity in our lives. Matthew 28, verse 18 says this, "And Jesus came and told His disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations.'" I don't think we fully understand how important that word "therefore" is. It's because Jesus is Lord that it can actually commission us to go and make a difference in our world. It's the Lordship of Jesus that convinces us that we need to follow Him, obey Him, and do exactly what He says. And Paul got this. The Apostle Paul got this, and he knew how important it was for us to get it. As he wrote to the Ephesian church, he knew how important it was for them to get it. And he knew that an understanding of Christ's Lordship was absolutely central to us fulfilling the purposes of Christ in this world. And he said this in Ephesians 1, starting at verse 19. He said, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him." It's essential to understand this Lordship, this incredible greatness of God's power. It says, "This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the place of honor in God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come." He's Lord of the universe. Verse 22, "God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things." He's Lord. But listen to this. "God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is His body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with Himself." And so Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord of all the universe. And this tells us so clearly that God has put all things under the authority of Christ, made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Why? Because the church is at the very center of God's will. The church, the body of Christ, is at the very center of all that God wishes to do in this world. And that's a profound thing. In the Message version, the Message paraphrase of verse 23, it says, "The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church." And so that places the church at the very center of everything that God is doing. And so Jesus is Lord, and our position in Christ is at the very center of everything He's doing in the world. Now that's a profound thing, and it's quite a profound passage. We may look at that passage again at some point so that we'll truly understand the centrality of our place in God's mission in our world. So Jesus is Lord, and our position is at the very center. But you might say to me, I don't really feel that Lord Jesus is Lord in my life or in that particular area of my life. And what I would say to you is, you might be right. And I want to be really clear about this. Jesus is sovereign as Lord of your life. If you follow him or if you don't. If you love him or you hate him. If you worship and bless him or you curse him. He is Lord over your life. It is that simple. But the impact of his lordship will only be experienced personally in your life as you make him Lord of your life, as you enthrone him in every area and aspect of your life. So what does that mean? How do you practically do that? These things are great when we understand them, but we've got to know how to practically make him Lord, enthrone him as Lord in every area of our lives. And so simply, when you obey him in a particular area of your life, you enthrone him as Lord in that area of your life. It's that simple. It's not so easy, but it is that simple. And so if you're not obeying Jesus in your finances, you can't expect to experience him as Lord of your finances. And the reality is the breakthroughs may well not come. If you're not obeying him in your family or in your relationships, then it'll probably end up in a mess and you'll not experience him as Lord in your family or your relationships. If you're not obeying him in your career or your business, you can't expect to experience him as Lord over an ungodly work ethic or dodgy business deals. He's not going to be Lord in those things in the way that you experience the blessing and the power to do all that he has asked you to do. And so you'll personally experience Christ's lordship in the areas of your life where you enthrone him by living in obedience to him. That's such a simple, profound concept. And so the reality is, obedience is always better than sacrifice. He loves to have us obey him, to follow him, to love him enough to do what he says, to be close enough to him to hear his voice and always implement what he says. But as a wee footnote here, I need to make something really, really clear. Our obedience never in any way earns our salvation. But it's definitely an evidence and fruit of our salvation, okay? So obedience doesn't earn our salvation, but it's an evidence of it. And so I want to read a passage that is quite a difficult passage, but this is the teaching of Christ, and it's very clear, and it's very pointed, but it's something that we all need to think about. And so Matthew 7, starting at verse 21, says this, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord." Now, let's pause there. What does that mean? Lord, Lord. There's a double emphatic. This is someone who will say, I am a Christian. I am a Jesus follower. I am serving God. I am doing what I know to be his will or whatever. This is someone who has this double emphatic who call out to him, Lord, Lord. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter heaven. So think about that for a second. Obedience never earns salvation, but is always an evidence of it, our heart and desire to obey Jesus. He continues, verse 22. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, there it is again. Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name and cast demons out in your name and performed many miracles in your name. And Jesus says, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Now that is quite a profound thing. A great example of that is Judas Iscariot, who was sent out with the power to heal and to cast out demons, but the Bible calls him the son of perdition. He was never actually born again. He was never saved. He never encountered the love of Christ personally. And so we're told here that there will be people who will meet Jesus, who have a track record of serving him, but who never really grasped this lordship issue. They never really saw Jesus for who he is and never really surrendered their lives to him in worship and obedience. The reality is, if you really grasp the lordship of Jesus, you'll be passionate about worshiping and obeying him. And that includes laying down our lives for his purpose and beginning to truly live as a result. Jesus actually taught that this whole concept of obedience as a response to revelation of Christ's lordship. Jesus actually taught that this is at the very heart of the Christian experience, that this is actually the foundation on which we must build the Christian life. Now, he says something quite interesting in the first verse that we're going to read out. Luke chapter 6, starting to read at verse 46. Verse 46. He says, "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord?" There's that double emphatic again. "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and follows it or obeys it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." And so Jesus says here clearly, this revelation of who I am as Lord should always result in you doing what I say. And it's obedience-based discipleship that Jesus is actually endorsing here. He says, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" When you truly see who Jesus is, you will fall at his feet, you will surrender your life, and you will give him everything and devote your whole experience in this world to fulfilling his will for your life. And so the Bible says so much about obedience. It is the best and most beautiful response to everything that we have received from him, but ultimately it's a response to the revelation of who he is. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, obey my commandments." John 15:14, "Are you my friends? Then do what I command." 2 John verse 6, "This love means living in obedience to whatever God commands us. For to walk in love toward one another is the unifying commandment we've heard from the very beginning." And so there's so much more. I'm going to read one more short passage, but the Bible is filled with this concept of obeying Christ because he is Lord. Starting in verse 20 of John 14, Jesus says, "When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commands and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal or manifest myself to each of them." Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, "Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large?" And Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home in each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me." And so the Bible says so much about obedience. We could continue to read for an hour all the passages about obedience all the way through the Old Testament, right through the New Testament. This is a really big issue. We've covered it enough for now. But we must understand that Jesus is Lord. And when we truly get that, we will, without a doubt, read his word, hear from him, connect with his heart, and immediately do what he says. Consistency in this is the fruit of spiritual maturity. And so many times I've experienced brand new believers being so much better at this than those of us who have been on the road a lot longer. But this is something that we need to grasp at the start and we need to commit to for our whole Christian experience. But when it comes to the outworking of our mission to make disciples, it's so important that we help new believers to grasp this because it's such an important foundation to build on. We need to walk with them. We need to teach them practically how to obey Jesus in all of life. It's one thing to teach people that they must obey Jesus. It's a completely other thing to, first of all, example and show people from our own lives how to do that, but also to help them understand how to do that, the practical steps that are necessary in deciphering the Word of God, applying it to our lives, and living in obedience, even when that has to be sacrificial obedience. The best form I've found, especially with those beginning a walk with Jesus or even leading up to a walk with Jesus, is the Discovery Bible Study. And we'll maybe talk about that at some point in the future. It's the best way that I've seen of doing that. And it's helping people to step into this obedience-based discipleship, simply following Jesus, honoring Jesus, obeying Jesus because he is Lord. And that permeates every aspect of our lives. And the reality is that the only qualification you need to help people to step into that life is to be living it yourself. Thank God for Christian education and degrees and Bible colleges and all of that. But the reality is all that you need to lead people into obedience-based discipleship is to be walking it yourself. And really grasping that Jesus is Lord, genuinely, is one of the most profound things you can do. Whenever you fully grasp who he is, when you get a glimpse of his beauty and his glory and his majesty as Lord, it will affect every aspect of your life, and you will find yourself, as Romans 12 says, simply laying down your life, because that is the reasonable, acceptable way to worship him. But before we even get to the point of going out today and getting into our lives and living this out in our lives, before we even get to that, before we leave this context, it's such an important thing to just get a glimpse of Christ and all of his glory. And so before we go out into the world and be so passionate about living in obedience to him, we have to have a revelation of him. We have to connect with his heart. We have to get to this point where we're lost in wonder because of the revelation that we've received of Christ. And whenever we have a revelation of Jesus, we'll be filled with awe, we'll be filled with a godly, reverential fear, and we'll worship him with everything that we are and have. And so I just want you to get yourself into that space, whether you're sitting in your home or you're out for a walk and you're listening to this or whatever, but allow yourself to focus in. Ask the Spirit to bring you to the place where you can almost imagine or envision the things that we're reading. And I want you just to see Christ in all of his glory, as he's enthroned in majesty. Allow yourself to be caught up in wonder. Allow yourself to be caught up in awe of who he is as you receive this revelation. I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 5, starting at verse 8. And there's just a beautiful scene of worshippers around his throne in glory, in heaven, and their response needs to be our response. Revelation 5, starting at verse 8. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls with incense, which were the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words: "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God. And they will reign on the earth." And John says, "Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang a mighty chorus: Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang, blessing and honor and glory to the and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living beings said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped the Lamb." What a majestic, glorious scene. Take some time, meditate on that. Get a glimpse of Jesus as Lord and devote your life to worshiping him. Devote your time to serving him. And as you worship and serve him as Lord, enthrone him as Lord in every area, every aspect of your life. As you do that, you'll experience the blessing, the anointing, the power, the grace, everything that you need to fulfill his purpose and plan for your life. And again, This isn't earning our salvation, but it's always evidence of it. And so please hear the Spirit. Get into God's presence. Consistently live off a revelation of Christ and who He really is. And your response should always be to fall down before Him, to worship Him. And as the ultimate act of worship, surrender your life and obey Him in every aspect of your life. I hope this is a blessing to you. I hope this is inspiring you to truly live for Him. But as you step into all that He has, live a surrendered life as the acceptable way to truly worship Him. God bless you.